Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome to a new season of the Football Guys DFS Power Grid. This year it is presented by rotogrinders.com. That's why I'm involved. If you don't know who I am, I'm Dan Bach, media director over at Rotogrinders. Been in the DFS streets for like 11, 12 years. It's crazy, I lose count. But I'm excited to come back with my guys over at Football Guys and do a kind of co-branded show. If you're watching this, it's probably on the Football Guys YouTube feed. Could be listening to it on the Audible or on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. But either way, any way you're consuming this, we're happy to have you with us and joining us back again for another season of the Power Grid. Let's start out with Mr. Devin Knotts. How are you, Devin?
I thought about wearing some Draft Street merch just dating back to, I think, 10 years ago when we were playing college football together. So good to be connecting. Glad to be here and glad for the partnership.
I still have nightmares about that because back in the Draft Street college football days, and believe me, there's plenty of people who are like, Draft Street? Google it, kids. Google it. And Devin was like one of the few people who could beat me at DFS college football back in the day. And, you know, I just hated. I hated it whenever we matched up against each other because I knew there was a good chance I was going to lose. So it's good to be talking NFL with you today. We got Phil Alexander. You can find him on Twitter at PhilFBG. What's going on, Phil? How are you?
He's on mute.
Phil, you got to unmute yourself, buddy. It's all right. Don't worry. It's the first show. You're allowed to make mistakes.
Opening day jitters.
All right. Well, Phil's got microphone problems, so then we will just move on over to John Tippenpick Lee, who, you know, I was a little bit nervous to come back and do a show with John Lee, mainly because the last time I did a show with John Lee on Thursday nights, or I think it might have been Wednesdays back then, we'd like dress up like Peter Overzet and sing songs, and it was a It was great years ago, but we're way too old for that now. John, welcome to another year of the Power Grid, my man.
Thank you, and I agree. We are too old. You're as old now as I was back then, and he used to make fun of me. So just know that you have caught up, my man.
Oh, as sad as that could be. Let's see if he's got his microphone working. Does Phil have his microphone working?
We doing any better?
We're doing way better. What's going on, Mr. Alexander? How are you, sir?
Doing great. Welcome to the basement bar where bad decisions make great stories. The story of my DFS career as well.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, again, we've got kind of we're kind of new to each other. So we're going to feel ourselves out here a little bit. We're going to have some fun. But obviously, we're going to be talking DFS. That's what the Power Grid's about. That's what we do over at Roto Grinders. Again, if you're not a subscriber to either of our two sites, very complimentary. Okay, so check them out over at footballguys.com or rotogrinders.com. And I'll tell you what, we'll kind of put you right down, give you all the information you need to know throughout this DFS season. And it's a pleasure to be doing this show. Since we're kind of new to each other's audience here a little bit, I think it's good to give a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of a background. So I'm going to start with the man I know least, and that's my man Phil, who I can tell is from the new Northeast. I can tell that he likes beer, and he's got some badass sleeve going on of the tattoo. So, Phil, I'm going to go around and ask everybody one question, okay? They're going to be different questions, but we're going to do this like every show to kind of just get to know each other a little bit. So my question to you, Phil, is if you're going to karaoke, what song would you karaoke to?
That'd be Wu-Tang Triumph, and I would be able to do all 9 verses without any problem at all.
Wow. Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. I would have probably guessed something like Bon Jovi, not Wu-Tang, but there we go. Okay, Devin, my question for you, if you're going to get like a semi-late night, not like 2 in the morning, but if you're going to get a snack somewhere out there, fast food or gas station, what is your go-to snack?
It's probably Cheez-Its. I'm a big Cheez-It guy.
Your big cheese. Do you have like a favorite variety of cheese?
No, original original Cheez-Its. Gas station, road trips.
You know, John told me that you're kind of the old guy of the group, and that answer definitely kind of, I mean, that's about as boring as you could get when it comes down to Cheez-Its.
I mean, no, you could go with beef jerky. You don't get to the size that I am where I'm a big snack guy. So anything that has salt, anything that's sweet, I'm in.
All right. And John Tippin Pickles. I mean, I could go a number of places because I know you incredibly well. Let's just go with here tonight. What was the last concert you attended?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably. I did have tickets to see Garth Brooks in 2 weeks, and he canceled.
That's not what I asked.
Before that was probably Amos Lee, who you probably don't know.
Distant relative?
Perhaps, but he sings a lot better than I do.
Well, we all know that if you've been around these football guys and Roto-Grinders shows over the years. All right. Well, now that we got to know each other a little bit, let's get into the games here this week. Fun week of games, I think, because it's week one. Salaries came out like months in advance. And, you know, obviously a lot of things change from, you know, that time to where we stand today. And what I kind of think is most interesting about this week, Phil, is a lot of our analysis is kind of based on Vegas, looking at a lot of these lines, what's going to be high scoring, what's not going to be high scoring. But in all honesty, that seems to change year after year. How much are you putting into this week one? Because, you know, there's a couple games that we've got listed that, you know, we've got new coaches. Like, how do we really know exactly how these games are going to play out when you've got new coaches on each side? So how much are you like looking at Vegas this week in terms of like building your lineups?
So I'm always looking to Vegas first, you know, just as a general guideline when I start my player pool. And this week, you know, even though there is a lot of new situations, there's also a lot that we've come to count on. So there's some high totals. Tennessee, Arizona is one that I'm looking at. Where they're either returning similar teams or they've added to the offense and improved. So I think that that would be one that looks to me like it's reliable. There are also a number of games that are kind of in that range of close to 50, but not quite there. And some of those seem to be going under the radar. I'll throw it to John. I know he likes to sometimes go over what he's looking at in Vegas, and then we'll kind of see what he's identified and see if that lines up with what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe where Dan's going here is week one, we really don't know what we don't know yet. And, you know, of course, Vegas is going to give us the lines, and that's going to be the basis for the way we do a lot of things in week one. A couple home teams this week have high team totals, those being Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. Devin's Browns are traveling over there to Arrowhead. They're the only team this week that has a team total, an implied team total, over 30 points. And you know, it'll be interesting this year to see. You know, last year we saw a lot of offense because there were no fans in the stadium. This year we have fans in the stadium, and at least in week one, we're seeing the Vegas lines reflect that. The highest team total on the week is 30.3 points with Kansas City, and then it's a decent drop down to Tennessee and Buffalo. Tennessee taking on the Cardinals, as Phil just talked about, and Buffalo is hosting Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, and both of those teams have about 27.5 points. Implied team totals. And then after that, you're looking at Green Bay and New Orleans, which could be a barn burner. That's a 50-point total down in New Orleans. You got Jameis Winston against Aaron Rodgers, a couple gunslingers there. That game is, you know, it's got a bit of shootout potential, but I guess the question, if you're going to take New Orleans, is, well, you know, Michael Thomas is out, so what wide receiver are we going with? And I think there's one that is going to be extremely popular this week. We'll talk about in a bit. But I think, you know, wrapping it up, you need to identify a game that has a 46-point total or thereabouts all they need to do is go over that by one touchdown, 10 points, and you all of a sudden identified a pair of teams that you can stack in a GPP and come out ahead.
Devin, let's throw it to you on this Cleveland-Kansas City game, because it does have the highest number on the slate this week, which I don't think anybody's surprised. Most games with Kansas City probably do. But I also look at Cleveland as I think they're a better defensive team than they are offensive team. Like, I really think that this squad is, you know, if they go as far as they did last year or even further, it's going to be on the backs of the defense, not the offense. Do you agree with that take? And do you feel like maybe that number's too high and that we don't necessarily need to be jamming in a Mahomes or a Kelsey or a Tyreek Hill this week when it's entirely possible? I mean, there's plenty of 3K guys, sub 4K guys this week where you can get those guys in fairly easily. What's your take on this game, being somebody who's so plugged in to the Cleveland side?
Yeah, so I think Cleveland's going to be interesting because they have a significant number of new people on that defense. So they have Jadeveon Clowney. They have at safety, they have John Johnson. They have Anthony Walker at linebacker. So they've added a bunch of new pieces. And I think you're right. Defense is probably the safest place for Cleveland. They're going to be as good as Baker Mayfield is. And I think for those that have watched this show, they know my feelings on Baker Mayfield. And it's not necessarily positive. But I think people are going to potentially make a mistake, and we'll talk about tight ends here in a minute, but about just looking at historicals. But John Johnson does make a significant difference. The Browns have not had anyone like that to cover someone like Kelsey. They've been one of the worst teams covering tight ends over the last several years. They also get Grant Delpit back, who missed last year. So it's a rebuilt defense. It's not going to be the defense that I think people think. I think it'll be a solid unit.
Yeah, I do too. I think there's one game that I think there's going to be a lot of plays from that I am nervous about here, John, and it's Atlanta and Philadelphia. I think going into this year, everybody thought this is going to be a shootout. These two teams stunk at defense, but they also fall into this category that I opened up about. New head coach on both teams. You know, Philadelphia has Sirianni. Atlanta got got Arthur Smith, I think his name was, from Tennessee. And it's not like Tennessee's a team that, yeah, they had a good offense, but it was mainly because they had good players, not necessarily because they wanted to play at a crazy fast pace or anything like that. They had Derrick Henry. It's not hard. So, you know, this is a game that people are looking at really strongly for plays. And I think this is one that could fall into that category of one like, yeah, it's a 48.5 total. Maybe these teams play a lot slower under these new coaches.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a great point. And you got to think about it's not just the coaches, right? I mean, Atlanta is going to run out Mike Davis at running back. Yeah. We really don't know what's going on there. You've got in Philadelphia, you have a new quarterback or a quarterback with a little bit of experience in Jalen Hurts and a wide receiving core with Devontae Smith, and people are excited about him, but we don't know what he's going to be like at this level. And Jalen Reagor didn't blow the world on fire last year. So there are a lot of questions on these offenses. So I'm looking at my quick list of folks to talk about tonight, and I don't think I have a single Eagle on the list. The only player I think from that game that I'm interested in, and it's probably only for cash games, we'll get there in a bit, but is Kyle Pitts, the rookie tight end down there in Atlanta. I think he might be a bit low priced for the role that he's likely to play in a Julio Jones-less offense there in Atlanta.
All right, let's get into some positions here, and we'll look at the quarterbacks. And interesting season here, Phil, because we've got, I think, the most changeover at the position. I don't want to say as long as I can remember, because my memory doesn't go that far, but you know, certainly over the last couple of years, you know, the number of QBs that we have, Lawrence, Wilson, Jones, Goff, Darnold, Winston, Taylor, Wentz, Hurts, Fitzpatrick, Bridgewater, what is that, like, I don't even know, 10, 12 guys? Interesting kind of dynamic for us to look at here. Give me your first impressions of some of these new faces in new places and ones that you think are you know, the change is going to be a benefit for them from a fantasy perspective this week.
I'm guessing that one was at me.
I cut out.
I wasn't sure if that happened to everyone or just me.
It's okay. I'll take this one.
So Phil's struggling like normal. This isn't just week one. Otherwise, I'd just give him a pass. I'm looking to New England. I'm looking to Mac Jones. He's what, 4,400 on DraftKings, which is insanely cheap. Going up, you know, I like the kid. I think that he's going to be put in a position where they don't really have a great running game. You know, they have some guys, but he's going to be looked to throw. The Patriots aren't going to ease him in. He allows you to build in a lot of different options. I think in cash, I might be starting on DraftKings with Mac Jones, which could be scary. I think the other guy that you might want to look up, and it's not necessarily a new places, new faces, but I'll just throw it out there. The other guy I'm considering is Kyler Murray versus Tennessee. So Tennessee historically had almost no pass rush. They added, who was it, Bud Dupree on the defensive line. But, you know, is that going to completely change the defense? I think there's a big opportunity with these running quarterbacks versus a lack of pass rush.
Yeah. You know, I think that's interesting for sure. No question. I mean, that total, I think that that's a super stackable game out there with Tennessee and in Arizona. The build this week, I mean, for cash in particular, for me, it's, you know, there's 3K wide receivers we're going to talk about. You can put them in, and then you get your pick of the top running backs. I think quarterback this week, a lot of times there's like obvious choices out there. I think there's a number of ways you could go. I think, you know, you want to go up and get a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes. Probably don't need to go 8K to against the Browns for him this week, but Allen seems like the high-end choice. You can do it. Or, like you say, you can go Mac Jones and go cheaper at quarterback and then maybe pay up a little bit more at one of those wide receiver spots. It's still a little bit early in the week here, John. You kind of have a preference in terms of that build. And, you know, there's one guy in between that I'm potentially looking at, but I'm curious to know where you're looking there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it, Dan. I'm looking at – I built a cash game lineup. It's still Thursday, still early, right? But I built a cash game lineup, and Devin, it's hard to believe that Devin and I agree this early in the season. It normally comes in about week 8, week 9 before we agree on anything. But Mac Jones is the guy. I mean, at 4.4K on DK, it's really tough to get away from him because, I mean, the quarterback's going to touch the ball 30 times in a game. And, you know, you're looking for 3.5x that salary. And, you know, in a week where we don't know a lot, you want to save that salary for players that you know are going to deliver. Guys like CMC, who's 9,500, and we'll talk about here in a bit. So for me, the build this week to your question, Dan, is probably going cheap at quarterback and then spending up at positions where I'm pretty sure I'm going to get the return on value in a week where there isn't we don't know anything.
There is. See, you're missing stuff here, John. I think you're missing some wide receiver value here because
I've got nothing but wide receiver value in my cash games. But, you know, the two that I got spend up options at CMC and Travis Kelce for cash games. And then if you do that, you're spending basically 20K of your 40% of your salary on those two teams. So now you got to spend on average $4,000 to $5,000 across the rest of your roster. And the guys you're thinking about, I think I'm thinking about too. I mean, we'll get there. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it's about building. And you know, if I'm spending up, it's going to be Josh Allen this week in a game.
Yeah, that I agree.
Could shoot back and forth. You know, and I had a few guys maybe in between. I heard you say you had one. I'm less confident in them for cash games, but I'm interested, and I'll save one of them for GPPs when we talk about that.
Well, I'll throw my guy out there, and I'll let Phil decide who he likes between the two. Is, you know, we got Jameis Winston here now in that New Orleans offense. He's 5,200. I mean, that's pretty affordable right there when you look at from a salary perspective. You know, Mac Jones, I agree. Like, he should be okay. But anyway, we still slice it, it's an unknown, We don't know. Like, it's not going to be a Cam Newton offense. I'll grant you that. Okay, it's going to look more like what they did with Tom Brady, but this is also a guy who is green. It's his first NFL start ever. Winston's a guy we've seen throw 30 touchdowns in a season. We've seen Sean Payton, when he's got a quarterback who can throw it, that quarterback throw for 5,000 yards or whatever Breeze was doing. I don't think that he's Drew Breeze, but I still think that he can be effective, especially what we saw in the short time in preseason. So, Phil, I ask you, who are you more comfortable with, a Winston at 5,200 on DraftKings or a Mac Jones at 4,400 on DraftKings?
Neither of them, Dan. I think I was more in line with your first thought, and that's that you could pay up this week and you could get someone from 65 going all the way up to Mahomes if you really needed to, which, like you said, you don't. I think I'd be looking at Josh Allen. So my problem with Mac Jones, what's that game going to be like, 13-7? I mean, what are we really expect? Are you looking for more than 15 points? Are you looking for more than 15 points for Mac Jones? Are you looking
for
more than
Cam Newton, though? Okay, like, I know in our head we've got this feeling like, oh, New England doesn't do anything. They don't score points. Well, that's when they had a quarterback who legitimately had no arm.
What's a good game for a rookie pocket passer making his first start? Is it 250 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and absolutely zero on the ground? I mean, that could get you somewhere for 4,400, but it's not going to get you past the edge that these running quarterbacks give you. So I wouldn't do it. And then with Winston, we saw him look great in the preseason against Jacksonville. This week he...
Be careful. This is a Jacksonville skyline behind me.
Oh, is that right? So he's... So Winston is... He's got a lot going against him this week that wasn't the case when he was playing with Jacksonville in the preseason, right? Number one, you got Zadarius on the defensive front for Green Bay that's going to be coming after him. Jacksonville had none of that. He had all the time in the world. And then his best receiver is, and I'm sure that we're going to talk plenty about him, is Marcus Callaway, and he's got a deal with Jaire Alexander, who might be the best cornerback in football. So how are they going to generate offense? It's probably going to be a lot of Kamara. I'm not saying Winston doesn't have a ceiling. And I guess if I had to choose between him and Mac Jones, I would go with Winston. I don't know. I sense a value trap because I see that he's starting to creep in tournaments. And I don't think that is a route I'm looking to go.
Interesting. I think he makes some good points against both of those guys, but I still don't know.
He still hasn't given us a quarterback, Dan. So let's hear something.
He said Josh Allen. Josh Allen. I'll take it. That's your guy.
So if I were playing cash games, it would probably be Josh Allen. But I don't play cash games. They bore the hell out of me. I prefer to play tournaments. And the one guy that I've got my eye on, who I think is a nice price pivot off of those guys towards the top, is Russell Wilson. So I think John might have mentioned the high total in Seattle and Indy. And that seems to be one when I'm looking at the roster percentage projections early on in the week, that even though it's got that near 50-point total, it's projected to be close. Indy's defensive backfield is banged up and frankly, pretty bad. They've got a good pass rush, but Wilson could scramble and mitigate that. I could totally see. And the great thing about him, by the way, for tournaments is that you know exactly where those balls are going. They're going to DK Metcalf. They're going to Tyler Lockett. And I think you could gain a lot of leverage because I think those receivers are going to be in the 10 to 12% range. Wilson probably 3 to 5. And I love starting a tournament build that way. And then, you know, maybe run it back with like a Pittman who should be in for high volume, and then just fill out the rest with chalk however I can.
I think that's interesting because right now Metcalf, out of the top, let's see, 7 wide receivers price-wise, he comes in 5th in terms of ownership out of those. So he's like the fifth lowest. So therefore, we're looking at under 10%, at least on the RotoGrinders early ownership projections. And you're right. I think, Devin, I love that call for tournaments. And I got to think, and maybe I'm crazy here, Devin. Tell me if I'm crazy. But everyone with a brain who watched Seattle the first 5 weeks of the season last year saw Russ Cook, saw that offense go freaking ham, and said, oh my goodness, this guy's going to win the MVP. And then all of a sudden it stopped out of nowhere, completely stopped. They got a new offensive coordinator now. I have a hard time with him not looking back to that first five games and seeing, oh my goodness, look at how we were humming as an offense. This is what we need to do. Is there a chance we get back to that this week?
I think it's definitely possible. I think that I don't love the 1 o'clock West Coast going East type thing. But
it's week one. It's not even all the way east. Come on.
I know. It's Eastern time zone.
Oh, Indiana. Sorry. They've got that crazy time zone crap going on there.
Yeah. So, but I mean, look, Wilson's always in play. I think that if he can get back, he was like minus 300 to win the MVP after week five or six, like you referenced.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
If he gets back to that, then you're probably going to win a lot of money there. I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit on what we said early on in the show. I like Jalen Hurts this week going up against the Falcons defense that allowed 307 yards passing per game. If you look at the receivers last year for the Eagles, Greg Ward was their number one receiver. Travis Fulgham was their number two. They have a lot more talent. Hurts has a negative perception around him, but he has rushing upside. I think that there's a play where you could play him and have him run for, you know, certainly 50, 60 yards. It could be a shootout game. I don't like it in cash, but I think in a tournament it's more than playable.
People are going to be playing him for sure. There's no question. All right, let's keep moving. Again, if you're checking out the show on YouTube, hit that like button, that thumbs up button. Leave a comment as well. If there's players that you like, we'd love to hear them. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, whatever podcast feed you're listening to it on, please subscribe to it. And, of course, leave a review because the reviews – help all the podcast feeds do well. So leave a review. Say, you know, John's wearing a nice salmon-looking shirt today. I appreciate that. That kind of stuff really, really works well for us. All right, let's move on to some of the running back positions here. And, you know, this week I think it's pretty obvious in your cash game builds you're jamming in the McCaffreys, the Cooks, the Kamaras. So I'm just going to kind of put it out this way, John. You've got those three guys. How do you rank them, one, two, three? Because I think most people are going to be playing two. I made a fun little lineup today that actually got all three. That was pretty nice. It wasn't unplayable. So, but I think
with Mac Jones,
had to be
not with Mac Jones, by the way. Not with Mac Jones. So I ask you. Yeah, I love the crapper receivers this week, Devin. So who rank them for me? One, two, three, and let's put salary in. You know, in consideration here, because Kamara is almost $1,000 cheaper than McCaffrey on DraftKings. I think on FanDuel, McCaffrey's way up there too. So break it down for me there, John, between the three big dogs.
Yeah, for me, it's CMC at the top without question. He's going to be, you know, chomping at the bit to get back and got a nice matchup against the Jets. After that, it's Kamara. And, you know, I've got it here. If Dalvin Cook's percent rostered stays where it's at, I'm likely to fade him this week. Maybe not necessarily in cash games. I don't think he's going to be in my cash game roster, but in GPPs, I'm likely fading him in a game. I just don't know that I love Minnesota Vikings as a team this year. I mean, we'll see, but I don't think they're going to be very good. And they're going to be outside their comfort zone because they like to feed him first. And this week, I don't know that game's going to set up well for them. I think Cincinnati jumps out to an early lead, and maybe he gets taken out. So CMC, slight drop to Kamara, and then down to Dalvin Cook. And if you play him in your cash game lineup, Dan, just send me over a head-to-head, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm not scoffing at the take. I'm scoffing at the take of oh, Cincinnati's going to be up easy in that game and they're going to stop feeding Dalvin Cook. That ain't going to happen. Because even if they're up, they're still going to get the ball to Dalvin Cook. But I don't think you're wrong because, you know, Phil, the thing about Kamara, and you kind of set it up talking about Winston, is like he feels like their offense right now. And with Latavius Murray out of the equation, are they really going to hand the ball off to Tony Jones on the freaking goal line? Hell no. It feels like a Kamara, like, ready to eat, 30 fantasy point, you know, I don't want to say lock of a game, but, man, I feel like the touches are going to be all over the place with him, especially Taysom Hill. Maybe he comes in on the goal line, and that's what happens there. But still, I feel like Kamara is, like, the top dog here.
Yeah, Taysom Hill came in plenty at the goal line and in the red zone last year, and Kamara was out there having 6 touchdown games when it was all said and done. So I'm not too worried about Taysom Hill taking away from him. Those are famous last words, by the way, especially when you need it. But yeah, Green Bay has made a habit over the last couple of years under LaFleur of getting stampeded on the ground. You know, you think back to some of their playoff losses and they never seem to fix the problem on their defensive front. So I think the path of least resistance against that defense is definitely the run. I think Kamara is one of the best running backs in the game. And I think he definitely warrants high exposure this week. You could play him in cash. You could anchor your lineups with him in tournaments. Interesting, Dan, what you said about the chalky build, you know, the common roster construction this week. Because I was thinking, as I was looking at some of the pricing, you look at Joe Mixon, you look at Antonio Gibson in that 6K range, and my thought was, you know, if you have season-long players that are transitioning and they're dusting off their DraftKings account for the first time in a while, they've been taking these guys as staple running backs in the second round, they're priced as though they were, you know, they're next to 4 to 6th round picks. My thought was that was going to be tempting to a lot of people to plug a mid-range RB2 in next to Kamara, Cook, McCaffrey.
I think the casual guy is going to say, I can get the first and second pick of my fantasy league in the same lineup. I'm going to go ahead and do that.
That was kind of my thinking. I just, you know, are there a lot of those people anymore? I guess a couple of years ago there would have been.
Yeah, and this is why week one is so interesting too, because even like the ownership projections that we do at RotoGrinders, you guys do at Football Guys, it's really hard to account for the audience that's playing week one. Because like you say, new people dusting off their account, they bricked their $100, you know, by week 3 last season, but they're back because it's a new year. How are they going to play this week? Because by the time we get to week 13 through 18, you know, you're really looking at way sharper players, people who are in it, people who are using the content, and hopefully more of you who are finding this show are using our content so you can last that long. But there's a lot of people who don't. There are hundreds of thousands of people who are not, and they probably fall into that bucket that Phil is talking about. And I think it's interesting because you're right. I think too often week one, week two, week three, I get stuck in the bubble. You know, I'm in this DFS bubble. I'm hanging around these sharp players and guys like John. Just kidding, John. Just kidding. I had to throw some. And, you know, I get in this bubble and it's almost like turns into the group think, but it doesn't exist for maybe like 40% of the players who are playing week one, Devin. I think it's something to consider a little bit. And I know you do ownership on Football Guys a little bit, and I think you got to agree it's a bit more challenging here the first few weeks.
Yeah, week one has the widest gap as far as the low-dollar contests and the higher-dollar contests in terms of just how rosters are constructed. So if I think about the lower-dollar contests, you're going to have people going with the heavier top-end running backs. You're going to have people going with the Kamara at Cook lineups or Kamara McCaffrey lineups. In the higher dollar, you may not see as many of those. People are going to try and get a little bit more different. I think one guy that's being overlooked here is Derrick Henry. I think he could be under the radar a little bit. If you go back to 2020, he had 31 carries, 25 carries, and 26 carries in his first three games. It leveled off after that a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see if he gets 25 carries, he's at 8,800. He could end up being a sneaky play that kind of goes under the radar when it's all said and done, because I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards those top three guys.
I think he is an absolutely brilliant play in tournaments. And I say that because, A, it's a very stackable game. And right now, ownership-wise, he's almost half the number of Dalvin Cook, half the number of Kamara. We got McCaffrey at 16 and him at 10, and I think it's probably more like 20 and 8 on that one. So I think Henry is absolutely the overlooked guy here, John. And here's the crazy thing. Props, people are betting these more. You know, you've got more regulated betting all across the country. So, you know, people love betting props. They're falling early and earlier. And right now, you know, Henry's got, I think, the highest rushing yard prop and the most likely to score a touchdown prop as well out of anybody this week. And yet here he is, third highest player, price player. But from an ownership standpoint, he's behind a good number of guys.
I love the call. I put up the yellow black eyed Joe for that reason. He's on my list of guys that is a top tier GPP play this week for the reasons that you guys are describing. He's nestled in there between Kamara, who's going to be super popular, and McCaffrey and Cook, who we've already talked about on the show. And he's being overlooked in terms of my model. He comes out as one of the top GPP plays on the week, and I'll have quite a bit of him, especially if AJ Brown continues to be hobbled. He's got an issue
he's
right
playing.
Now.
He's fine.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I believe you. I'm not saying he won't play, but he's at least questionable. I think as of the time of recording this show. So I like the call. Let's get back to cash games though, because I think we mentioned some high-end guys. And while Dan, you seem to fit those all in, and you got some 3K crappers you want to talk about, who are the guys in the middle tier that are of interest? I'll throw one out. I think Antonio Gibson against the Chargers is a guy that is going to be utilized in a lot of different ways in that offense this week. I like him more on DK than I do on FanDuel, for what it's worth. I think he's going to catch quite a few passes. You've got Curtis Samuel right now looks like he's not going to play due to a groin injury. And Antonio Gibson could be lining up out of the slot and that kind of thing as well. So he's a guy I like at 5,900 against the Chargers. I go to Phil, but I know he doesn't like cash games. So Dev, who do you like? Who do you like in that middle tier that isn't, a McCaffrey or a Dalvin Cook?
Yeah. Joe Mixon's probably my top guy there. I think he's probably the safest, but the other guy I'm looking at a little bit, and it's still early, but James Robinson against Houston. So this Houston team, I still can't figure them out. I think they're going to be terrible. I think most people think they're going to be terrible. But the question is, how does Trevor Lawrence do? How do they let him go early on in the year? Do they lean on James Robinson? They had planned to do a two-back system, but if he can get 20 carries, I think he has a 100-yard upside as well.
I think he's a stone lock on FanDuel, by the
FanDuel.
Way. He's way too cheap over there. I think on DraftKings you can get away with it because I agree. I mean, Gibson's $500 cheaper than him. He's a much better play in that situation. A couple of our experts in our lineup HQ tool have Raheem Mostert as a tagged play against Detroit. And I think he's kind of interesting, too, simply because, at some point in time, Trey Sermon might get that position. But Mostert, man, that guy breaks so many big plays. And, that price tag on him, again, in that sub-6K range is interesting. Probably not doing it in cash, but I think he's a worthy play. And then one other guy I like, too, Najee Harris, another guy who I think we can look at on FanDuel a little bit as a cheaper price tag. But this is interesting, though, because typically there's like a cheap running back or somebody that you can throw in here. And we can't do that. You know, it's unfortunate that the Ravens aren't on this slate, Devin, because I would have loved to have heard some sort of rant from you, which about, like, I don't know,
what Tyson we Williams
should or shouldn't be doing. Yeah. Tyson Williams. Okay, give us a preview. You say you got a Saturday show, so we don't want to give away the
give us
a preview.
I just don't play 25-year-old running backs who spent 3 or 4 years at 3 colleges, never had 500 yards in either of his seasons, caught 8 passes in college. I just can't get past that. I know he looked okay in the preseason, but I mean, J.K. Dobbins didn't finish as a top 24 running back last year. Do we really expect Tyson Williams to be better than J.K. Dobbins? I don't see it. I think Lamar Jackson is going to run all over Oakland, Las Vegas, wherever they play on Monday night. I think it's a big Lamar Jackson week. The other guy I just want to mention real quick, just in case there's news that might break, is Austin Eckler was sort of hobbled on Thursday. Justin Jackson could be in play if Eckler were to scratch. There wasn't a lot of information out there. It happened about a couple hours ago. So keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, he's kind of been on the sidelines the last couple of days of practice. That would change things a little bit because it's again the Chargers. They had all last year with Eckler out, and it was still just a rotating cast of who was going to be that guy. So, certainly makes him tournament viable for sure.
Tough matchup, right, too, against Washington. They have one of the best defensive lines.
I like the under in that game for what it's worth if you're into that stuff. All right, let's go into the wide receiver spot. And, Phil, I'm going to go back to you, Phil. Instead of talking past games, let's go right into the tournament side of things. I kind of want to know where you're focusing on. I mean, you mentioned, Russell Wilson is the quarterback that you like. So clearly you got Metcalf, you've got Lockett, and then you even mentioned running back with Pittman. Is there another kind of situation besides that one that you're really angling towards on tournaments?
Yeah, it's a one-off play because I don't necessarily love the game in Cincinnati, Minnesota. I know that some people seem to, and there is some ownership concentrating on that game. But I think one player, and it's probably the best player in the game that's flying a bit under the radar, is Justin Jefferson. He's kind of getting lost in the sea of mega producers, from 7,500 to 8,000 on DraftKings. And when you look at where we have like Calvin Ridley projected, Jefferson is at roughly half, and I don't think that Ridley is twice as likely to hit a ceiling as Jefferson, especially when you consider Trey Waynes is out again for the Bengals, and they are depleted in a bad secondary. They've got nobody that could cover this guy. Wouldn't shock me if the Minnesota passing game did not go nuts, but just about everything goes through Jefferson. And I guess for that reason, you might want to take a look at Adam Thielen too in tournaments. And that would also give you some leverage on Dalvin Cook if he's going to be one of the more popular running backs. And then the other spot that I like for wide receivers, I'm not sure what you guys think about, again, common construction and how that shakes out. But, I kind of thought that people were looking at a fairly expensive wide receiver one in chalky builds. And that being the case, you'd have Marquez Callaway in there as the cost saver. You have T. Higgins, who is badly underpriced, who I think is going to be very popular. So I think that balanced spending across the wide receiver position might be a little unique this week. And one way that I see that you could do it and get some secondary correlation inside of the same lineup is with the Panthers and Jets. I don't necessarily like the game. It's a 44-point total, and it's got a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road, and Sam Darnold, who is undeniably terrible. But I do like the wide receivers, and I do not like the defenses and specifically the secondaries on both of those teams. The Jets especially are awful in the secondary. They might have the league's worst collection of defensive backs. So Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore are both more than capable of breaking a long one against them. And if Wilson is flinging it in the second half because the Jets are awful and they're losing, we saw how he targeted Corey Davis in the preseason. It was some ungodly, you know, target per route run rate. For 4,900, that makes him interesting. So I like the idea of pairing a Carolina receiver and Corey Davis inside of the same tournament lineup, not as my main stack, but as a little secondary correlation.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about the Jets because, you know, there's definitely some question marks around that team. Jamison Crowder, still not, you know, back yet, not out of COVID protocol. And this kind of leads me down the path to 3K crapper number one. And Elijah Moore, I mean, Devin, you watch college football. You still are in the college football streets a little bit.
Yeah,
Elijah Moore was a freaking stud at Ole Miss against really good defenses in the SEC. And it sounds like he was as dominant in the early part of camp before he got hurt. So he didn't really play in the preseason. And everybody said, this guy is going to be the guy. And now he's 3K with no Crowder there. I don't know how you don't put this guy into a cash game lineup if Crowder's out. I like him maybe even if Crowder plays, but if Crowder's out, this guy's catching at minimum five passes in this game. So there's five fantasy points for 3K before you account for a single yard or anything else. Do you agree with me on Elijah Moore?
I like him in tournaments. I don't know that I can go there in cash. In a normal week, I think you're probably right. But I'm looking at guys like Marquez Callaway. I'm looking at Jalen Waddle. I'm looking at T. Higgins, Michael Pittman.
Oh, okay. I gotta interrupt you. Everybody's jumping up and down about Marquez Callaway. Like, oh, Marquez Callaway. He's as unknown as Elijah Moore is. Because Michael Thomas is hurt and he had one good game against the Jaguars in the preseason, everybody's ready to crown this guy as wide receiver one.
But there's something about putting a Jets player into your lineup.
That's a fair statement. John, where do you break down on this? I mean, because there's even another 3K crapper I'm going to get to a little bit. But, like, are you – let's get to Callaway. Are you, like, in on this guy? I mean, he's 3,400. We got projected ownership at 25% right now on Thursday for him for that weekend slate. I mean, that's a massive number for a guy who has never really done it. Never really done it besides preseason.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. My model right now is calling for me to have 95% exposure to Marquez Callaway on Sunday. Will I have 95%? Absolutely not. But the numbers are there to support the popularity of Marquez Callaway. I mean, who else is there to catch the ball there? Adam Troutman. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe it's the Alvin Kamara 6-touchdown week, but that's a game that's going to go back and forth. Callaway will be in my cash game lineup, period. I have no issues with Elijah Moore, for what it's worth. He was a guy that I watched a little bit in the preseason, and I think he could be the real deal. It's just a matter of whether or not he and Wilson have a connection when it counts, when it's not in the preseason. Yeah. A couple other guys that have been mentioned for cash. I think T. Higgins is in play at 4,700. A guy I didn't hear mentioned was Jerry Jeudy. Teddy Bridgewater has a real connection with him. At least that's what we're hearing coming out of Denver. He's 4,800. And then as high as I want to go in cash this week is Terry McLaurin against Chargers. He's 6,400, and it goes back to the whole, what's going on with Curtis Samuel. You just throw it to Terry McLaurin and watch him run. And he's got a big upgrade in quarterback this year. So a lot of reasons to like him. Now, I want to flip over to GPP's Dan. You live in Jacksonville.
I do.
What's going on with So typically what happens with my model is my wide receivers drive my quarterback exposure. And two wide receivers that are really coming up hot for me this week are Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, which means that I could theoretically, at least as of Thursday night, have quite a bit of Jacksonville going up against Houston in a game that's, you know, about 46 points. And it goes back to what we were saying early on in the show that, you know, 46, maybe all they need is one extra touchdown, and all of a sudden you're in the 50s. So, you know, and Vegas can be that far off in week one. What are your thoughts on this game? I mean, I think if I remember correctly, and this will get Devin triggered, but DVOA defense as of last year, where these two defenses were 31st and 30th, respectively. So not a lot of defense.
Well, I'll say this much to Jacksonville's defense is, A, their coaches were tanking, their team was tanking, Josh Allen was hurt, C.J. Henderson was hurt. They were playing scrubs all over the place. So defensively, the Jags just are a different team right now. I don't know that they're going to be good, but they at least have players out there now and a coaching staff that's focused. So that's number one. Number two is you nailed the guy who is the guy on that offense, and that's Marvin Jones. If you've watched anything so far this preseason, normally I don't put a lot of stock in it, but with a rookie quarterback, I do. Marvin Jones was the guy who was getting all the looks in that offense this preseason, and they were good looks. I mean, he was getting himself open. He was looking him down, and I'm a little bit worried simply just because Chark didn't play much. But, you know, for me, it was clear that Jones over Shenault, if you're choosing between those two. And Jones this week is just dirt cheap at 3,600. I think he's cash game playable because I think you nailed it. Houston is awful. They're in full-on tank mode. They just traded away their best player for draft picks. Their best defensive player in Roby is gone. So I think that Jacksonville is an absolute great, great spot, both quarterback and wide receivers. For me, I love Jones. I think he could play Shenault. You could probably play Chark. Nobody's going to be on him. But in catch, if I'm choosing between the two, Marvin Jones is my guy. Devin, I got one for you, though, because, again, going back, college football, you love this stuff. You saw this guy absolutely just smoke your Ohio State Buckeyes. Rondale Moore, baby. He's 3K. He's for Arizona. He's been looking the part this preseason, and God knows he looked the part in the Big Ten the moment that he stepped on the field. Is he viable for you this week at min salary?
Not yet. I love the player. I think he had 20 catches against Ohio State in a game. The problem is there's so many options in that offense. You know, how much is he going to see? I kind of like another 3K crapper that is sort of going underlooked, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown for Detroit. Ooh. I just don't know how Detroit's going to move the ball at all. Like, Tyrell Williams stinks. Who else is going to move the ball? Are they going to feature this rookie from USC? I like him. Let me just throw one other guy out there. I talked about Travis Kelce early on. I think the Browns put a pretty heavy coverage on him, and this sort of transitions into tight ends. But I think Tyreek Hill one-on-one against Denzel Ward is a mismatch. We saw that in the playoffs where he had 110 yards and 8 catches. Didn't score, but Mahomes kind of was injured and wasn't right in that game. I think Tyreek Hill has a big opportunity in tournaments this week.
Interesting. So I think I think St. Brown's an interesting cat for sure. I think there's a little more risk with him.
I agree.
I have a hunch, though, and I don't even know if it's a hunch based on what we kind of saw. Is, I mean, Rondale Moore, they're going to give him the ball on jet sweeps. They're gonna like give him short passes. He's not a downfield guy.
No.
It's going to be a volume situation for him where he might have like 4 catches, but they might be within 5 yards. And the question is, can he break something? If he doesn't, he's going to go 4 for 25. If he breaks one, he's going to go 4 and probably have like 98 in a touch. So I think he's interesting. He's a stud. I love the kid. So maybe a little bias from my college football.
He's one of my favorite college players of all time. So I'm right there with you.
All right. So Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot here. 3 rookies. They're all 3K. And I think we already know you. Well, maybe we don't know. You got the two Moores, Elijah and Rondell. And then you didn't mention Terrace Marshall in Carolina. So
he's all right. He's all right. All right. I'm so, not playing, but he's all right.
At the end of week one, what's the ranking in terms of output?
I think it'll be more. I think it'll
no,
be.
No, you can't say more. There are two of them. That's a cop out.
I thought I could get away with that. I'll say Elijah, Rondell, St. Brown, Marshall will be my take in terms of those four. But we'll see. I think they're all super interesting. And DraftKings, even though people don't like it, I love it. I think it makes it way more interesting of a build to have these low price guys. All right, let's get to tight ends here. Before we do, be sure to hit that thumbs up button. You're watching us on YouTube, on the Football Guys YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up. If you're listening on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed or the Audible, please leave us a review as well. Really helps us out. And of course, subscribe, rotogrinders.com, footballguys.com. I'm telling you, two of the best sources you're going to find anywhere for this DFS season. And of course, if you're a season-long player, you already know it. The Football Guys just have been crushing it for, can I say two decades? Has it been 20 years of Football Guys? Yeah.
Yep.
Multiple decades. It's been great. All right, let's move on to tight ends here. And, you know, this is a interesting spot here because our tournament guy here, Phil, there's no way he's playing a chalky Kyle Pitts, right? Are you playing it? No, he's shaking his head at me right now.
Yeah, probably not. It just seems like the easiest way to avoid a chalky lineup is to forget about Pitts and forget about Callaway and go from there. The guy that I like the best is George Kittle. Not because I think he's going to be completely forgotten about. You're not sneaking him past anybody. But he's priced in like tight end no man's land, right? You got Kelce at the top, and anybody who wants to pay at the position is going that route. You got Pitts at 4,400, who is a fourth round pick since he got drafted. That's going to be what people are looking to do for the most part. And then you got Kittle right in the middle. I didn't mean to do that. That was horrible. But you got Kittle in that spot where there's really no other tight ends. And it instantly, you know, if he ends up 10 to 15% owned right away, you're building in a different direction than most of the field in tournaments. Not to mention he's George Kittle and he's awesome and he's playing the Lions. And Jimmy Garoppolo is confirmed as the quarterback. So he's got a pocket passer that knows how to feed him. San Francisco is implied for a lot of points, and Kittle's their best target, and he's healthy finally. So I love the play there. And I think if I was punting, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but Tyler Conklin is kind of interesting to me in Minnesota. Irv Smith was getting a lot of love before he went out for the season, unfortunately, because that ruined like a solid, I don't know, 18% of my best ball drafts that I did all summer. But the story there was that when Kyle Rudolph was out towards the end of 2020, Irv Smith had a 14% target share. He was producing, you know, well inside the top eight tight ends. But what was interesting is that Conklin's target share over that same span was actually higher. It was 14.5%. This guy is a small school product, Central Michigan, but he's an athlete, and he's been impressive when he's gotten playing time, and now he's going to get playing time. I mean, he's the guy that coaching staff trusts. Mike Zimmer was talking about him ahead of Smith way back in the spring when training camps first started, or OTAs rather. So I've got my eye on that. He's super cheap. I think he's sub 3K if I remember. And I don't think too many people are looking at him.
There's no reason to.
I don't disagree with you, Devin. Okay. I don't disagree. I think Conklin's is somewhat of a thin play there. I think Kittle is the right, like, Phil, I can read your lineups right now. You're going to have like 6K guy all, you're just going to be like fair and balanced the whole way. I can see it. You don't like the high end. You don't like the low end. You're like right in the middle. It's going to be Phil's lineups this week.
He's like Goldilocks.
Yep, just like Goldilocks.
Like Goldie. Do we have a new nickname? Phil Goldilocks Alexander? Is that what we got here? Okay, Devin, I want to get to you here. And I know John wants to comment on Pitts, but again, I love going to the college football guys because Pitts was a unicorn, okay, in terms of his production at University of Florida. But it's also a position that if you look historically, rookie tight ends suck. And we've got a 20% owned plus rookie tight end week one. Given he's underpriced, but again, there's history behind it to say there's a learning curve here. Will this apply to Kyle Pitts, or is he legitimately a unicorn when it comes down to early production in the NFL from a college player at this position?
I think he's ahead of where other tight ends have been in the past. I still think there's a learning curve. I go all the way back to like 2011, 2012, where a tight end changed, and he's not nearly as athletic as Pitts, but Jason Morrow never really developed. And he was one of the best receiving tight ends in college history. So it doesn't necessarily always translate. There's a difference.
Let's be fair. This was a spread offense versus whatever garbage Florida puts out there. A little bit different.
Yep. A little bit different. But I look at it and say, do I want to spend $4,400 for Pitts, or can I find $500 and go TJ Hockenson? And I think I feel better about Hockenson. Jared Goff scares the living daylights out of me. I think he's terrible. But who else are they going to throw to? I mean, that's the reality. I think Hockenson is lined up to have 10 to 12 targets almost every week. I think he's in line to be the number one receiver in Detroit. At $4,900, I think I'm going that way in cash. I probably would go that way in tournaments, and I would probably fade Pitts because I think that you can take away a rookie tight end.
And there's just so much unknown there. Like, there's no reason, I think, especially in tournaments. In cash, like, you can kind of look at the field and say, okay, like, I'll beat them somewhere else. You know, if you don't have Pitts and you're playing 50-50s, he scores two touchdowns, you're pretty screwed. Okay, that's a pretty fair assessment. So if you want to, like, eat that position and win elsewhere, fine, I can get it. But in tournaments, what's the outcome that it's going to take for you to, like, really regret playing Kyle Pitts? And I don't know that it's going to get there. I kind of want to see it ahead of time. John, what's your feeling? Because I think this is a huge discussion point in terms of, like, roster builds for tournament play here, because there's always, again, you're building lineups, you're not picking players, but the tight end position is crucial, because if you find that guy that's so much better than every other player at that position, it's not like wide receiver where you're going to have six or eight guys do well. Tight end, there might only be one or two a week that splash. If you don't have them, you're not going to finish in the top 1% of the tournament. What's your takeoff on Pitts here? How good are we expecting this kid to be off the bat?
Well, I mean, if anybody's watching the feed, they saw me nodding the entire time you were talking. I agree 100% that Kyle Pitts should be in your cash game lineups. He's simply too cheap at $4,400. And if he does do what we think he's going to do, you're going to be potentially in trouble trying to make up because he's cheap, right? He's basically half the price of Travis Kelce. If you can get Kelce in your lineup, then I'm all for it. Despite what
too expensive on DraftKings, I think.
Despite what Devin said earlier, I think, you know, I'm a big fan of Travis Kelce, even though he looks like a different person without the beard. Different topic. But Kyle Pitts is he and Logan Thomas right now are my biggest fades at the position for GPPs. If he ends up being over 20%, I think it's a huge reaction to his college career down in Florida. The guys I like at the position at GPP, Phil already talked about George Kittle. Hockenson is a guy that's, I mean, when he's competing against the likes of, a rookie and Amon St. Here's my first mess up of the year. What is it? Amon Ross St. Brown. I got it. Amon Ross St. Brown. Amon Ross St. Brown, Tyrell Williams. I think Hockenson is right there, and he's quite affordable. And then as a sleeper at the position, in a deeper field GPP, I do like Anthony Firkser against Arizona. and a game that's Phil likes, you know, with a high total, 3,200. He's not competing against Johnny Smith this year for targets. So he's my sleeper pick.
So we did an article a few weeks ago, and the number one rookie tight end averaged 8.8 fantasy points per game.
Yeah.
And that's Evan Engram. So you're expecting Kyle Pitts to be the best tight end in the history of
I mean, he might be, though.
He very well could be. But that's what you're up against.
Honestly, like, he, you know, and honestly, if there was Julio Jones still around, I think it would have been, like, simple. Like, forget about it. But the fact you take Julio out and it's just Calvin Ridley and then a bunch of kind of scrubs out there, it's tempting because you feel like, why aren't they going to throw this guy the ball?
Yeah.
But I'm going to – would I interest you in a guy – sub 2% ownership, final four games of the season last year, his targets were 10, 7, 6, and 11 as a tight end. Might that interest you a little bit? I guess not.
Yeah.
Because I get nothing but silence.
Who is it?
Mike Gesicki. You look at him towards the end of the year, he kind of was a total dud in the middle of the season. Even kind of the beginning of the year, he had that one huge game against Buffalo, and then he totally fell off, but kind of picked it up at the end of the year. And you look at his price tag, he's, what, 4.5K on DraftKings, 5.5K on FanDuel, and nobody's going to play this guy. Like, if we were to sim this season or this week out 100 times, like, how many times more would Gesicki have a greater fantasy output than Kyle Pitts? Like, maybe like half the time? Like, I don't think that's
40%.
Yeah, like 40%. And you're looking at 21% ownership to sub 2, according to what we're looking at Thursday. So those are the type of guys. And Noah Fant is another guy that I like. I know that game is a crap fest. It's a low total. But Noah Fant's a guy who had some really big games before he got hurt last year. And nobody's going to play him. Why? Because they say Kyle Pitts is there and he's going to be the next great player. So,
Robert Tunyon's another one.
Oh, I feel so bad that we can't call him Tunyon anymore. I like it better as Robert Tunyon instead of Robert Tunyon.
I mean, I can do that if it makes you feel better.
That's all right. You already said it. Next week, get it right. Okay. Next week, get it right. All right, let's wrap this up. Defense is real. I hate defenses. Who wants to be the defense guy? Because I you pointed to me, John, in the little square.
That's okay. This way.
Oh, yeah. Devin. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Devin can be the defense guy because I don't want to be that guy.
Spend down. Take the Falcons. Analysis.
There we go. Excellent analysis. All right. Let's get to real quick because we got to get out of here. Time's running fast on us. You know, tournament play is I think that's what the majority of people are playing. I still think you can play cash games in NFL. There's an edge to it. There's so many people. My recommendation is if you're a new player, play those new player games. Like, that's where you need to be playing. If you're just getting into this now and you qualify for those new player games, play it. You have to play it. Otherwise, you'll probably get destroyed. But otherwise, I'm a head-to-head guy. I don't like 50-50s. 50-50s is not my deal. Head-to-heads over 50-50s if you're going to go the cash game route. But we love tournaments. The world loves tournaments. So, John, I think the single-entry, three-entry max, I know DraftKings has King of the Beach coming back, which even those are pretty limited entries. I think it's three or five entry max in some of those qualifiers, which I think is awesome. Give me kind of some strategy that you might look at for that sort of tournament where you don't need to have a crazy good lineup that's going to beat everybody like you need in the Millie Maker, because the fields are only like maybe, you know, way less the size, but you still need to kind of use your head a little bit in the lineup building process. Give the people some tips.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what I typically do in a contest like that is I'm still game stacking. I think that game stacking has proven itself as a winning strategy for GPPs now over the past few years. And, you know, you just, all you need to do is to look at the biggest names in the industry. They're all doing it. And my biggest wins over the past few years have been through game stacking as well. The question is, you know, which games do you stack? And that, you know, goes back to what we were saying earlier. I'm picking probably not a game that's as obvious. You know, I threw out the Houston-Jacksonville game earlier as one that potentially you could stack. You could run up a Trevor Lawrence with Marvin Jones and LaVisca, and then run it back with you know, somebody on the other side, whoever that might be. And once you do that, you know, because then those guys are not going to be highly rostered at that point. You can slot in your CMCs. You don't have to be completely contrarian in a contest like that. You can put in somebody who you like, who's going to be popular, and it's not going to make you lose.
See, I don't say I disagree with you, but I think in that example you set, I think if you want to double stack Jacksonville, that's fine. I don't think you have to run back a Brandon Cooks in that situation. I think you kind of can get a little too, like, if you're talking about the Millie Maker, 100%, because you need to find that outlier game that's going to happen. But when you're talking about people only have three entries or one entry to put in there, you're not necessarily going to be running up against these teams that have every scenario stacked out. And I still like the game stack, but I think I'm a little bit more picky because I like Jacksonville. I'm not running back anything on Houston because there's nothing there I like. I mean, where would you possibly go in that situation? So for me, like, if you like Minnesota and you want to run back Cincinnati, fine. I get it. But that one scenario you throw out, I'm gonna put the red black-eyed Joe.
I think the messaging is the same. And you should be doing a game stack. That's where I the correlations are too tough to hit otherwise. Unless you're doing like a 500 max tournament, then you don't need as much correlation. But typically these things are, you know, a few thousand.
All right, Devin, you're up next. Give me some tournament strategy this week that you want to go with.
Yeah, I sort of throw roster percentages just completely out the window in the single entry tournaments. I try and if I want Christian McCaffrey, I'm putting him in my lineup. I'm building it sort of as like a cash with upside type lineup where it's like, I'm going to have a quarterback. He's going to be stacked with the receiver. And I'm going to take the guys that I'm the most comfortable with that have the biggest upside. If it hits, great. But I'm going to treat those as sort of bankroll builders in that not being crazy. I think that people make the biggest mistake of trying to treat those like a normal GPP where they're taking these like low percent chance plays and 10% of the field is dead before the tournament even starts.
And I think you have to do that in the Millie Maker situation.
100% agree.
Even like the 20 entry max, $3 on DraftKings, there's, when you got 100,000 some odd entries, you know, you kind of have to hit the nuts, as they like to say in the poker world. And sometimes that takes taking the major outliers. And three entry max, single entry, I don't know that you have to do that. Phil, what's your preference in tournament play? You like the limited entry, or are you a mass multi-entry guy? And you didn't turn your mic back on. He gave me the finger wag. 1 second. Because he changed his microphone. We were talking too much. The show went too long. His AirPods died. Do we need to buy you some new AirPods there, Phil?
He's struggling. All right, let's move on. We're already over an hour.
He gave us the nod. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll get Phil some new AirPods that'll last longer than an hour, than in case we run a little bit long. But we want to thank you guys for giving us a listen and a watch here. Footballguys.com. You can find all the work that John, Devin, Phil do, and beyond that, they've got just incredible stuff from top to bottom. They've got their own optimizer. They've got their own ownership projections if you're into the DFS. And of course, you know, from season-long players, they give you the whole rankings, who you need to play each and every week. From the Roto-Grinders side of things, if you're hardcore into DFS or you want to get more into it, I'll tell you what, we've got an optimizer that gets all the bells and whistles you could possibly think of. Some of the greatest players in tournaments are providing content for us, and I hope you check us out, rotogrinders.com. So, for the boys, John, Phil, and Devin, I am Dan Bach. Thank you for tuning in to the Football Guys DFS Power Grid, presented by Roto Grinders. We'll talk to you again next week. We will see you.